Blog Talk Radio.
Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. It's good to be in your presence one more time, and it's certainly be good to be in the presence of the Lord one more time. We are coming to you tonight with joy. We're excited about the broadcast and the week that we've seen and the oncoming. It's coming at us hard. We're now deep into the fall season and headed into the holiday season. I greet you with Jesus' joy. Well, this evening, as always, we are get your pen and pencil ready, and we offer you the contact information, which we are the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, and I am the host, Bernard Reed. Contact information is email goteachandbaptize@gmail.com, goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. And the phone number associated with Jeremiah Speaks is 804-313-7853, and we did get some shout-outs yesterday, and we are always happy with the criticisms, always happy with the feedback, and always happy with the suggestions, and certainly we're happy with the pats on the back as well. We try to present a good broadcast here. We try to be diverse, that we can reach thousands and thousands of folks. We are with you from Monday through Friday at 7 p.m., and then on Sunday morning, we're preaching at 8:30 a.m. I'd like to reach out on this evening and to give a shout-out. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. So certainly, I give a shout-out to my pastor, the Reverend Michael Reed Sr., who's been at the Clarksville Baptist Church for 23 years. Clarksville Baptist in Warsaw, Virginia. He's a fantastic leader. He's a leader whom we've taken upon. We trust him with the Word of God. We trust him with the vision from God. And we've taken upon us much of his insightfulness and wisdom. And certainly, we've had 23 wonderful years. We pray God's blessings and mercy upon him. And I challenge everyone listening to pray for your pastor every day. We ask you to really turn it up a notch during Pastor Appreciation Month, which is October. I know nobody should have to tell us or remind us to do things, but we know who we are. So happy Pastor's Appreciation Month to all the pastors out there. And then we go this evening to the Word of God. The Word of God comes to us, Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, the book of Jeremiah, Old Testament book of Jeremiah, one of the major prophets, the 32nd chapter, verses 9 and 10, and then verses 37 through 40. So six verses tonight. Jeremiah 32:9. And so I'll go to Jeremiah 32:9 without any further ado. Jeremiah writes, excuse me, and I bought the field of Hananiel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witness and weighed him the money in the balances. And then he skips over to 37th verse. Jeremiah writes, behold, I will gather them out of all the countries where I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. This is the word of God for the people of God, even so saith the Spirit. And I want to use for a text and a subject on this evening simply who's going to buy the field. Who's going to buy the field? Let us bow head for a word of prayer. Our wise, eternal God, and our righteous King, Lord, we come before you on this beautiful and wonderful Friday evening, thanking you for another day's journey and a walk, and another opportunity to call upon you for a few words in prayer, another opportunity to preach your word. Father, I pray that whoever's listening this evening, that you will bless us to have open ears, bless us to receive the word of God, for you said that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Speak, O Lord, to the church, that we may hear the word of the Lord. Then bless this preacher, Father. I'll turn him upside down, shake out all the impurities in the preacher, then turn him back right side up, fill him with the filling of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and seal him with the seal of the Holy Spirit, that he may preach the gospel and the word of God only. For we know that when the word of God is preached and goes out, that it will not return unto you void, but will accomplish well within the sent. This we ask in the mighty, majestic, perfect, everlasting name of Jesus. Amen. So it's preaching time. Who's going to buy the field? Lord have mercy. Jeremiah speaks, presents to you who's going to buy the field. Over the course of time, through the ages, God has spoken to man in many ways. He spoke to Adam daily. He fellowshiped with Moses and shared stories with him. He spoke to the prophets in dreams and in visions. He sent angels to speak to Joseph and the shepherds. He constantly uses nature to proclaim his glory. He uses signs and wonders, and he delivers a fresh, relevant word to preachers. He allows the use of symbols, such as the sprinkling of oil and the laying on of hands. Our God uses imagery and symbolism to command the attention of and encourage his people. God used the prophet Jeremiah as a symbol. In Jeremiah 32, God is using the worn, weeping prophet Jeremiah to proclaim his name among the Jews. Jeremiah had committed his life to preaching an unpopular word of God to a stiff-necked and unfaithful generation of people who were supposed to be the children of God. Jeremiah preached and no one listened. Jeremiah prophesied and they told him to shut up. He told them,
Dr. Pat Stewart, International.
But no one wanted to hear it. He was the voice of the land, but no one listened. The king imprisoned him, put him in the stocks, cast him into a pit for being negative. He wrote the Book of Lamentations, the book of the Bible from which you have never heard a sermon. That's Lamentations. Jeremiah was indeed the weeping prophet. In Jeremiah 20, the prophet confessed that preaching the word of the Lord had made him so unpopular that he decided not to mention God's name anymore. In fact, he cursed the very day he was born and vowed to preach no more in the name of the Lord. But then he testified that when he went silent, the word of God was like a fire shut up in his bones. And while he wanted to hold back, he just couldn't keep it to himself. Jeremiah was so unpopular because Jeremiah told it like it was. Jeremiah confronted the people's idol worship. They didn't see it as idol worship, however, but they saw it as harmless fun and curiosity. And I add, like Halloween. False prophets preached against Jeremiah and told the people what they wanted to hear. I kind of like modern day. Well, here in chapter 32, the nation of Judah is in trouble. The northern tribes of Israel have already been conquered by the Chaldeans, and now they're coming after Judah. Judah is in trouble. Jeremiah told them this day was coming, but they wouldn't listen. Judah and King Zedekiah are now ready to turn to the Lord. He had called the false prophets in the time of need and found them to be absolutely useless.
Dr. Pat Stewart,
Judah is in trouble. King Zedekiah sends for Jeremiah to convince the Lord to lead the Jews in victory over Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. Judah, I say, is in trouble. Their supplies have been cut off. The parties have ended. The idols have failed. And everyone is running scared. Jeremiah sends word to the king that not only will Judah be conquered, but Jerusalem will be ransacked and burned, and the people will be hauled away into slavery. Judah is in trouble. And Jeremiah slaughter field. Judah is in trouble. The enemy is about to conquer and take the land, and Jeremiah purchases the field. The Lord said that Jeremiah's cousin is selling land to make ends meet. The cousin comes to Jeremiah, who is locked up, and Jeremiah buys the field. Why did Jeremiah buy the field? Land values had plummeted by 200%. There was war in the land. Inflation was on the rise. Unemployment was sneaking back up. The banks had failed. The national debt was almost $28 trillion. Businesses were going belly up. There was a $300 billion federal deficit. Stock market was not dependable and going crazy. Crime was on its way up. Groceries were ridiculous. Housing market was on its way down. Real estate was worthless. And Jeremiah bought a field. Why did Jeremiah buy the field? With an economy that was in the ditch. And the forecast for that economy was depression or recession. There was no bailout, and it wouldn't have worked anyhow. The last time they did a stimulus, it didn't work. But Jeremiah bought a field. Why did Jeremiah buy the field? Because God told him to buy the field. You know, sometimes that's enough. Sometimes it's enough. If God said so, that's enough. Sometimes every logical thing points to not doing something, and then God steps in. I wish I had a witness here. Sometimes logistics point in a direction. Sometimes history points in a direction. Sometimes background points in a direction. Sometimes educated folk point in that direction. Sometimes the universities have declared it. The government have declared it. Sometimes even the church folk have declared it. But God said, go another way. I wish I had a witness in here. How many know God like they want to know God? How many understand God? And how many think we have a relationship with God like the psalmist who wrote the books in the Psalms had with God? But if anybody knows God, has studied God, and really thinks they know how God operates, you know that God is never going to send you what everybody else says. Sometimes there is a way that seems right to a man. But then God tells us that same way may lead to destruction. So we must look at God for our reasoning, must look at God for our direction, look at God for our vision, so to be able to see like God sees, because God told Jeremiah that in the midst of everything crumbling around you, go by that field. Jeremiah may have said in his heart, the field is worthless, and it will only be mine for a few weeks. Why would I spend this money on a field, money that I've saved and hard to come by, spend it on a field that is overpriced and probably won't even be mine very long? I don't know if I like Hananiel that much. God said, buy the field. God may say to some of us, now is the time for you to plant. Now is the time for you to sow. Now is the time for you to get on the field. Now is the time for you to get busy. He said, no, we're coming out of a pandemic. No, we're coming out of riotous times in our country. We're coming out of a time where I'm not even sure if my neighbor likes me or not. We're coming out of a time with increased racial disparities, divisions, and hatred. We're coming from a time where we can't even trust our government anymore. We come from a time where folk are corrupt right in front of our face. Folk lie right to us. Folk in high positions are not even capable of being trusted. Lord, this is not the time that God says to us, go and buy the field. And what I mean when I say buy the field, I don't mean physically like Jeremiah did. Jeremiah literally bought a piece of property. He bought a piece of property to show the folk that God is still on the throne. He bought a piece of property to maintain his integrity before the people and remind them that I take my orders from God, not from the Babylonians, not from the Chaldeans, and not even from folk around here. It says in the word that there's a time coming when folk will have itchy ears, and folk will tell the preacher what we like to hear. And folk will react to the preacher when he says this and not react when he says the truth. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. But sometimes, it might be this time, it might be now, but sometimes folk don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they like. And they want to hear like King Zedekiah. God told him. God sent Jeremiah. Tell him again. He sent Jeremiah. Tell him the truth again. The king had his own prophet. His own prophet said to him, O king, live forever. The Chaldeans have nothing here. There's nothing here that they want. They're going to take over everything else. They beat back the Assyrians, the greatest empire in the world. They beat them back. They backed off the Egyptians. We thought the Egyptians would come and help us out. They backed them off. But, O king, live forever. There's nothing in Jerusalem that they want. And so they're not coming to Jerusalem. They're not going to bother us. But Jeremiah said, oh, no, oh, no. They're headed this way. They're not camped out there encircling us for no reason. They're coming this way. Jeremiah said, I got to tell the truth. But in spite of the fact that we are surrounded by our enemies, I'm going to buy a field. And why did he buy the field? Because God told him to buy the field. Why did Jeremiah buy the field? Because our country is going through some changes. The United States is going through some changes. We're not the only country going through some changes. Things have been so bad that Americans have begun to throw their hands up and allow folk that they never entrusted before to be president of the United States. Folk want change so bad that they're willing to vote for anybody at this point to see if somebody can bring some change from the top down. There's revelry and excitement over folk who have no plan. The court has been stacked to vote in a certain way on certain cases. But that which we've been taught about from children is now incredibly under attack for their own integrity. There are folks out there making excuses why this is this and why that is that. There are gas prices that are just running away. There's inflation that's going way up. There's an awful war over in the Ukraine. One-third of the United States believe that the last national election was stolen. And then there's the presidential drama. And then there's the Democrats. And then there's the Republicans. And then there's this. And then there's that. And then there's Fox News. And then there's MSNBC. And then there's CNN. And then there's on and on and on. And then there's tales of earthquakes all over the world. There's tales of tsunamis. And there are tales of global warming. And tales of hurricanes and violent storms and typhoons and all of this stuff we're being told on a regular basis, but God is stepping in the middle of that and telling somebody, I want you to purchase a field. I want you to step out and make a statement. It may not be a welcome statement, may not be the most sensible statement, but I got your back. Isn't it a good thing to know that Jeremiah said in the 20th chapter, it's a good thing to know that God's got your back. That if you're doing what God told you to do, you can't go wrong. If God told you to speak the truth, speak the truth. And God told Jeremiah, go by that field and show those folk. You see the field as worthless, but Jeremiah sees the field as a symbol of hope. I'll tell you one thing my country needs right now is a symbol of hope. Honesty has eroded, and corruption has set in. And I read something yesterday, where a person in another country that we wouldn't have heard from a few years ago, said, I wish the Americans would stop telling us what to do because the next thing, our country will be a racial mess like the United States. That thing hurt me to my heart when I, as an American, look and see the test scores from across the world. When I was growing up, they told me we were the greatest nation in the world. They indoctrinated me with that. I see test scores. I begin to see America coming in as low as 45th. And I see folk calling us rich Americans and dumb rich Americans. And I see that we have running water. It's not even considered a luxury here. We have purified and pure drinking water. We have so much pure water that we buy our water. We buy it in bottles and celebrate how sharp we are. We are a country that is filthy rich and doesn't know it. But then on the outside, it looks like we hate each other. Somebody needs to step up and purchase a field. Somebody needs to step up and cross the line of races. Somebody needs to step up and speak out in the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to come outside of the church wall and buy some land in the community. Somebody needs to come down in the community and fellowship with the people sometime and not spend so much time, perhaps, inside the church wall. Somebody needs to do some volunteer work. Somebody needs to shout the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to stand up in their own workplace and say, you can't make me doubt it because I know too much about it. You can't make me doubt him in my heart. No, you can't make me doubt him because I'm talking about Jesus. You can't make me doubt him because I know too much about it. Somebody ought to stand up and purchase a field. That's where Jeremiah was. Jeremiah stepped out on faith. And then we cross over and we get to that 37th verse. And in the 37th verse, Jeremiah has now come to tell us what the Lord has said. The Lord said, behold, I will gather them out of all the country, where I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and in my great wrath. And I will bring them again into this place, talking about Jerusalem and Judah, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart, one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their heart, that they shall not depart from me. God closes this out, chapter 32, with a promise. He made a promise, not just to Jeremiah, but he said, Jeremiah, the people have been wicked. People have been wrong. The people have turned away from me. People have chased after idols. The people have become selfish. The people have become covetous. But those same people who will be hauled off, their children will come back here, and I will restore them. We know about restoration today is that it's a little simpler than that. We're not really fearful of somebody coming in and taking us out of our house and carrying us away. We're fearful of what sin will do. Sin will set in, and it will take us captive in our own home. Sin will set in and make us think wrong is right and right is suddenly wrong and the truth is not to be heard. Sin will make us in a circumstance, in a situation where somebody has to step up and say, no, I'm staying with the Lord. No, I'm going through with the Lord. No, I'm planting over here. Yes, I'm buying a field over here. Yes, I know my Lord for myself. He's been so good to me. And even though I've done some things wrong, yet will I trust him. I trust that he will forgive me of my sins. I trust that he will accept my repentance and forgive me. I trust in God's grace and mercy. It doesn't matter how bad I've been. It's all about the goodness of Jesus. And I'm ready to turn for him. And to do so, I'm going to buy a field in my community. To do so, I'm going to invest in my community by telling somebody how good God is. But not just telling them with lip service, but standing on the rock of the promises of Christ Jesus by investing in the people of God, investing in the places of God, investing in my community and proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord, proclaiming that now is the time to turn back to God. Now is the time to tell my neighbor, I love you because God loved you first. To tell my enemies that I must love you. Bring water to my enemies. Love them so much that they can't stand it anymore. I need to make sure that my family is all saved. I want to go and witness to everybody in my family. I want to be the one to buy the field from my cousin who is hopeless. I want to remind folks that Jesus came and died that we might live. I want to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. I don't want to buy the field. Maybe there's somebody listening tonight that catches what I'm saying here, that has caught the nifty way of saying that we need to stand up. And somebody in every household needs to stand up and lead that household. Somebody in every church needs to stand up. It's more than good preaching. Lord have mercy, and I love good preaching, but it's more than good preaching. It's more than getting a good feeling when you go to church. It's more than getting a good feeling when you go to church. How about we take that feeling, come out of the church, and make a difference somewhere? Make a difference in somebody's lives. Jeremiah was in prison when he bought the field. Jeremiah knew what was going on in the outside. Follow the word of God. He followed the instruction of God. He said, the people need hope. This one gesture will show hope to the people from the man of God. Remember who Jeremiah was. Jeremiah was a prophet. And the unique thing about Jeremiah was they knew he was a prophet. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. They even threw him in a pit for his preaching, but they knew he was a prophet. And the king, when all else failed, called for Jeremiah. What does the Lord have to say? So on this evening, I'm saying, regardless of what people call you, regardless of what they say about you, which they won't say much about you, when you step up and buy the field, when you step up and buy the field and sow into the people of God, don't discount this next generation. Don't talk bad about this next generation. But talk about the love that God must have for this generation, and we ought to love him too. I close out this evening by talking about Jesus on his way into Jerusalem for the last time. Jesus was about to make his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and he knew. He had a good idea of what was going on. He knew there were crowds awaiting his arrival. He said to two of his disciples, I want you to go over and into a city that's over and against you. And I want you to...
Jackie McKay, what's that? Audio.
God bless you so much. You have been listening to Jeremiah Speaks. We thank you for tuning in to that great speaker, Reverend Gernard Reed. Again, that's Reverend Gernard Reed of Jeremiah Speak. You can hear him each week, Monday through Fridays, from 7 o'clock to 7:30 p.m. And again, you can hear him on Sunday mornings from 8:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock. We thank God for that great, great man of God. He is on special assignment, and we wanted to hear that great word of God. We are fortunate now. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer, and we just received our call from Jackie McKay. I can never say her first name, so she has to say it. She is calling us from Jamaica. We're going to interview her. She's over in that warm Montego Bay, Negril, having a great time during this holiday season. She's our special guest. Again, you heard Reverend Gernard Reed. And now we will have Evangelist McKay on the phone, who is calling us now. Hello, how are you?
I am well, Apostle Martha. God bless you. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to join you on this program tonight. How are you?
I'm okay. Can you speak up real, real loud, almost like you're yelling, because we have a windy connection here in Maryland, so it's almost like you got to be yelling through a horn.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm here. I'm hearing you. God bless.
Okay, talk louder, please.
I am not going to be able to talk much louder than this right now.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling us. Tell us, how is the weather over in Jamaica? What type of weather is it? It's windy and cold here in the East Coast of the United States.
Well, it's definitely not windy and cold here, but I've been hearing some thunderstorms, so I think we're about to get some rain later on. But it was a nice sunny day, not too hot, but definitely not cold.
Okay, I remember. I just got back from Jamaica. I remember meeting with you, enjoying that coconut fish, cherry goat. All those good red beans and rice, the cabbage. I had a great time. Do they celebrate Thanksgiving like we do here in the United States during this time of year?
No, Thanksgiving is not a Jamaican holiday.
Oh, it's not a Jamaican holiday. What type of holidays do you all have?
Well, we're coming up. We're looking forward to Christmas. So we celebrate Christmas. Christmas Eve is the busy hustle and bustle day, and then Christmas Day itself is a very sacred, holy day. And the day after Christmas, which is known as Boxing Day, is the day that we usually have the festivities, the garden parties, parties, car, beach parties, you name it. So Christmas Eve is the commercial day. Christmas Day is the holy, the spiritual day, and then Boxing Day is the fun party holiday.
Yeah, I read somewhere that even in the month of July, it's the Bob Marley festival, or is that in June?
I am not sure what's going on with with the Bob Marley Festival, to be honest. That probably started after I left to Jamaica. What I do know is that during the summer months, they have what's called Sunfest or Sunsplash, which is a big reggae bash, and it, you know, features artists from all over the world.
Oh, artists from around the world. I'm kind of curious, why do they call the reggae festival, why is it named reggae?
The festival is based on the music style, and so the reggae music is what the festival is named after.
Oh, okay. I noticed they have that Caribbean beat. And thank you so much for joining us. Can you pronounce your first name correctly?
It's Jackie. You said it right. It's Jackie, so I'm Jackie McKay. It's just spelled a little differently from people are used to seeing, but it's pronounced Jackie.
Okay, Evangelist Jackie McKay, I'm so fascinated with you. I've never seen a person that could travel around the world and in a couple of months go back and forth six times. I've counted. You went to Jamaica back and forth six times in a couple of months. So you don't mind the flight? Yes, I counted. When you told me you was going over there, I was, oh, my God. I called a couple of weeks later. You was in the United States. I look again. You went back to Jamaica. You was back and forth. So you don't have a fear of being on a plane?
It just seems like 6 months. It wasn't 6 months.
Okay, I know you back and forth. You don't mind being on the plane like that?
You know, Apostle, I've never really focused on that. I just know that I have to go, and so I go.
Go ahead. That's what I love about you, that you don't mind going and doing the work for the Lord. You was telling me that you just finished up a beautiful service, not only with the word, with prayer, and it was attended very well. Can you tell us a little bit about your last evangelism service?
That was an assignment with the New Testament Church of God in Simon Elamar, Westmoreland. And I actually went there to sing, but as you know, the Lord would have his way, so I was called on to preach. And the word that the Lord gave me was just to allow, just to minister a word that would highlight what it means to really glorify God with our lives and to live a life of holiness, which is what glorifies God.
I love it. So to highlight God, live your life in such a way that it glorifies God. That's beautiful. I really love that. I understand that you have written a couple of books. Can you tell us about each book?
Okay. So in 2017, I published my first book, Pursuing Your Passion, Biblical Reflections on Passions Pursued. And that's a book that provides insight and inspiration for identifying and pursuing your passion. It's a book that it takes more or less a scholastic approach, and it features case studies which outlines the principles that are inherent in pursuing your passion from a biblical perspective. And so in that book, I select a couple of characters from the Bible and just deal with their stories a little bit, highlighting different themes and different issues that they encountered as they were pursuing their passion. So pursuing your passion, you know, inspirational, insightful, and enlightening. And for someone who is, you know, sometimes we end up being at a crossroad in our lives where whether it's a hobby, a life dream, or even career, we want to be able to do something that we feel passionate about. And this book helps you to identify, you know, what your passion is, and it helps you to move forward in pursuing your passion. So that's Pursuing Your Passion, Biblical Reflections on Passions Pursued. And then earlier this year, back in March, I released, or I published, Remembering Ziklag. And that study on the mind and its functions, not from a clinical perspective, but just a bird's eye view of how our mind impacts our behavior based on triggers that are around us that are being cued within the mind. And so Remembering Ziklag, it focuses on the story of David, and most people are familiar with the devastation and the destruction that took place at Ziklag, but it was all in the mindset that we see the story coming out, where although everything was gone, everything had been destroyed, when it could possibly destroy the main character because of the mindset and because of where the focus was, the triggers that could have taken the mind out of its normal stance was not able to do that because the mindset was so anchored in who God is and the Word of God that he was able to triumph over the circumstances and not succumb to what could possibly be a negative impact and a total disarray of mental conditions. And so Remembering Ziklag just points out some of the ways the mind can be ravaged and how we combat the ravages of the mind.
I love that. So from a biblical perspective, you're talking about mental health, you're talking about biblical characters, and I love how you say that your mind has to be anchored in God and in his word. That is really, really good. So can you give us a little bit more about what you said about David in the book? Again, you're listening to evangelist Jackie McKay. She is calling us from Jamaica. This is our guest for the hour. We're talking about the books that she have published. The first book is called, what's the title again?
The first book is Pursuing Your Passion, Biblical Reflections on Passion Pursuit.
It's called Biblical Passion, and we want to say that passion.
It's called Pursuing Your Passion.
Pursuing Your Passion. Okay, I hear you now.
Right. Biblical Reflection, Passion Pursued. That would be your subtitle if you so choose to define it.
Oh, I love it. And now we're talking about the second book, which is called
Remembering Ziklag.
Remembering Ziklag. Why did you come up with the title Ziklag? What is that?
Well, actually, you know, I don't want to sound like, you know, those holy rollers, as, you know, some people like to call folks, but it's not something that I came up with. It was just what the Lord dropped in my spirit, and so I went with the title Remembering Ziklag, but to be perfectly honest, when I got the title, my mind was in a different place, and I thought the book was going to be something totally different. What I had in mind to write is a totally different story from what came out in this book. So there was a shift from the time I got the title to the time the title was penned. And so this focuses on Ziklag. The story of Ziklag was one of those cities that David had inherited, and so when he was out at war and he came back home to find that enemy troops had totally destroyed, devastated the city, everything captured and kidnapped, wives, children, not just his family, but the troops that had gone out with him to war. And so Ziklag is a place of destruction, it's a place of devastation, a place of burning, a place of loss. And as I looked at Ziklag, thinking that I was going to be writing about just loss, personal losses, and, you know, the impact, and we all know the story where, you know, David went up and the Lord told him that he would recover all that he had lost. And so going in, this was initially what I thought would have been the focus of the book, but as I began to meditate and study the Word of God, he just took me along a different path to bringing out the devastation that goes goes on in the mind and the different things that can create that kind of chaos and that kind of instability of the mind. And that's really what Remembering Ziklag is about. And then it looks at how we can combat those things that ravage the mind.
I love it. So we can have chaos and confusion in the mind. And I love what you said about this book, because it gives you some good solution and biblically some good sound advice. If people want to find you on your website so they can look at the books that you're talking about, can you tell us the name of your website?
Well, currently I am on Instagram. I do not have a personal website, but the books are available on Amazon. So in order to read a little bit more about the book, they would need to go on Amazon to find out about the book. I am on Facebook as Jackie McKay, and I do have a couple of videos where I'm reading a few sections from my third book, which is called Empowered, and that's 114 Thoughts That Will Set You Free. So I do have two video recordings of me reading sections from that book on Facebook under Jackie McKay.
I love it. So on Facebook, if they go on Facebook, they just have to type in Jackie McKay?
Yes.
And you said on Amazon, how would they be able to identify you and your books? Is there a particular title?
On Amazon, they could put in the title, so the title of the books, and they are written under my first name, which is Jacqueline McKay.
Okay, that's really nice. So how do you spell the one you said, Ziklag, in case they want to go on Amazon and look at that? Because that's really deep about, you know, conquering mental health issues biblically. So how do, if they go on Amazon, how do they spell that?
It's Remembering Ziklag, and Ziklag is Z-I-K-L-A-G.
Z-I-K, what'd you say?
L-A-G, Ziklag, Remembering Ziklag.
Okay, Z-I-K-L-A-G. And I'm just speaking a little louder. Like I said, in the East Coast where I'm located, we have strong winds and it's blowing our electrical wires and everything. So I hope you can hear me okay. So in the third book, I really love it. Can you get in a little deeper to just tell us a little bit more about it?
Empowered. That's a book that is dealing with the issue of being in bondage and the need for deliverance. And a lot of times people think that to be empowered is referring to just speaking in tongues, you know, falling out in the spirit, being slain in the spirit, and just doing those things that we are familiar with in the church, just laying on of hands. But being empowered is way more than that, and it's what we need in order to be able to walk in the deliverance that God gives when we have been in bondage. And so beyond the scope of the church-related activities, there is a real life that has to be lived where we are constantly wrestling with the powers, the principalities and the powers of the air. The Bible tells us that we are constantly wrestling against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so one of the things that I highlight in this book is that, you know, bondage, people can end up being in bondage for a number of different reasons, whether it's as a result of sin, whether it's as a result of man-made systems of control that would be your personalities and the wickedness in high places. And then, of course, there is a spiritual warfare where the bondage results as a, the bondage comes about as a result of activities that are going on in the spirit realm. We're wrestling against demons, fallen angels. We're wrestling against those that practice witchcraft, voodoo, roots, obia, whatever it's called. Just things, forces that we cannot see, the demonic forces and the influences that are out there that some people end up being in bondage as a result of a spiritual residual wickedness in high places, or again, as I said, as a result of sin, or because of earthly systems of control. And so the book deals with the fact that whatever realm, whatever category a person is in, a person finds themselves in bondage as a result of one of these categories, that person or those persons need to be set free. And there are ultimately strategies or principles that God has given in his word that is able to take us to ride out those storms, to be able to overcome and to walk in deliverance, whether it's from forces seen or unseen. And so the book focuses on the principles that God gives in his word that will enable a person who has been in bondage to be able to walk in freedom.
Wow, that's beautiful. What's the name of that book again?
It's called Empowered.
I love it, Empowered. So can you tell us a little bit about your background, just maybe some of your passions or your highlights, just a little bit so people can get to know you?
Okay, so I am a simple person that just loves the Lord. I love God and I love his people. I love people. I have a particular passion for people that are marginalized, people that are stigmatized, people that are, just held on the lower scale of life in some people's books. And I'm not necessarily saying a book that has been released, but in some people's mind, in some people's sight. And so for me, it is important that as I interact with people, I am, whether it's on a ministry platform or just on a social interaction, for me, it is important that people understand that I just see them as another person that has been created in God's beauty, in God's holiness, and in God's image. I see them as a person that will make mistakes along the way, and they still need to be loved. They still need to be cared for. So with that in mind, I am always conscious of when I interact with people, I have a word of encouragement for people. If I can help, if it's a situation where I need to help financially and I can help, I help. And sometimes it's just a matter of giving a person a hug or a pretty smile or just saying something nice. So, that's what I'm about. I just want people to be able to live their best life and know that no matter what you're going through, you were still put here for a purpose and you still have significance, even if it's to one person. It may be to your family. It may be to your community. It may be something. So I'm always teaching people.
That's beautiful. I understand you sing as well. Do you have any CDs or albums out?
Yes, I do. And, as you asked that question, to continue a little bit with what I'm about, what are my passions, what I love, music is my big passion, pursuing my passion. And I spent my life pursuing my music passion. And I have one full CD that was released in 2003. It's called In Your Hands, and they're just praise and worship songs. And I recently released a new song that's called Glorify the Lord. It's upbeat, it's Caribbean, it's all worship and praise. And I do have a couple of other singles that I released about 2 years ago, Sacrifice, the God in Whom I Trust, and my very first Spanish song. These are all songs that the Lord allowed me to write and to perform and record officially. I do have a YouTube channel. I'm out there as Jackie McKay. So if you're searching on YouTube, I'm at Jackie McKay, JACQUIMCKAY. So the songs are on YouTube. And for those who would like to follow on the other social media platforms, I'm on Instagram, Jackie McKay Official.
Can you slow down and spell Jackie McKay again? Because, like I said, we have a little static in our studio here. Can you spell that for us slowly, please?
I'm on YouTube as J Jackie McKay, just as it is on the website, J-A-C-Q-U-I, McKay.
And how do you spell McKay?
M-C-K-A-Y.
Okay, Jackie McKay. That's beautiful. And what about your other passions? I understand that, like you said, you have music, you're writing books. Do you praise dance? Just tell us a little bit more about yourself. It's so interesting.
I have not danced in forever, so that discussion for our next program. But I love life. Sometimes life knocks us down, and, you know, we forget how much we love life, and we are grateful to God for just giving us life and putting us here in this life. But like I said, I love people. I'm out there. I love music. I just love to breathe and to release the word of God. And, you know, again, like I said, I don't want to sound like, okay, she's such a holy roller, but that's what my life is all about. My life is all about Jesus. And so my passions are wrapped up in the things of God. There was a time when my passions were wrapped up in the things of the world, but when God called me into a relationship with his son Jesus, everything changed. And so the music I sing is just to glorify God. It's focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's focused on the goodness, the mercies of God, the love of God. And so I love God. I love his creation. I love the things. I love life. I love life. I love God. I love sports. These days I hardly have much time to get out there, but I have a passion for sports that is as intense as my passion for music.
Well, what type of sport? Can you tell us? Is it basketball or soccer? What kind of sport?
Oh, well, soccer, it would be football in Jamaica where I'm from, but netball, track and field, you know, those relays, 100 meters, long jump, I'm all about the sports. Tennis, lawn tennis, and hockey. I played hockey. I was a part of the Jamaica women's hockey squad. And, you know, so I've been around the gamut. I've been around the whole sphere of the sports world. And it stays on the inside. I am not there doing those things now, but I still have a passion for the sport.
Well, I did not know a hockey star. Well, congratulations to you.
And I thank you so much. I should say field hockey, because when I say hockey, people usually go, I didn't know they had ice hockey in Jamaica. So let me make the distinction. It's field hockey or grass hockey, as they would call it.
Wow, that is so unique. I'm finding more and more about you. What type of food?
I do get snippets of that in the book Pursuing Your Passion. So if somebody is interested in finding out a little bit more about Jackie McKay, especially since I've been a little bit tongue-tied on this interview here, you can get a more articulate version, a little view of who I am by reading this book.
We all get tongue-tied. So do I, because you know I'm from the South. But what type of dishes? I was so impressed with that coconut fish. What type of dishes do they prepare in Jamaica, like just the normal? I understand it, red beans or rice. Can you just name some of the dishes?
Well, for starters, the national dish, the ackee and salt fish, which is codfish done with ackee. And, of course, there is curried goat. It's called curried mutton. There is your fried chicken, brown stew chicken, escovitch fish, which is fish that is fried and then seasoned with carrots, onions, vinegar, and pepper. And just the regular food that you get around the world, it's just that in most instances, the spices and the manner of preparation makes it a bit different. But the big time would be the escovitch fish, the bami, which is a staple that's made from cassava. It's like a bread that's made from cassava. And so that's popular with the escovitch fish. So you can have fried bami or just regular steamed bami. There's also brown steamed fish, which is done with the vegetables that are packed on the inside of the fish, and then it's put in foil, and then it's steamed slowly over. big popular thing. And, of course, you've heard about the many jerk dishes. There's jerk chicken, jerk pork, jerk fish. They're basically jerking everything now and which is more or less a slightly sweeter version of your biscuit.
Oh, my gosh. I fell in love with that coconut fish. I still remember that. You know, I'm enjoying speaking with you, Evangelist Jackie. Truly, we would like you to have a segment through the week where you could have your own time to go into those books that I think will be a blessing to people around the world, and also to share your music. We would love to have that Caribbean hour with Jackie McKay. It is so beautiful. One thing I know about you, I've been knowing you for, like I said, I guess close to 10 years. You are
It's way more than 10 years, Apostle Mercer. It's closer to 20 than it is 10.
Well, you see, my mind is slipping. But I know, one thing I know about you for those years being with you that have impressed upon my heart is that you are a strong intercessor in prayer. Oh, my God. You pray like I do. You can just pray until heaven open up and that the angels just sit in attendance. We don't have this much time that's left on this particular broadcast, maybe about 5 or 6 minutes. Is there anything you would like to close with before we ask you for our prayer?
To close with, one second here, I was not mindful of your time going, but there was something I wanted to share, just going back to the book Empowered, and it's one of those things that has impacted my life, because growing up in the church, people made you feel like if you are not doing certain things, as in the jumping and shouting around in the church, then you are not empowered. And there is so much more that is encompassed in being empowered by God. He calls us to himself, to a relationship with him, so that we can overcome the challenges that life will bring to us. And so he fully equips us for the work that he has called us to and for the life that we live. And so we have to be completely saturated and enmeshed in God. When we do that, we are able to relinquish the reins of our lives to him, giving him full control. And when we give him full control, that's when his power is at work in our lives. It enables us to be able to meet some situations that should crush us. It enables us to be able to deal with afflictions, to be able to be in prison, even like Paul and Silas were, and still maintain an attitude of trust. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening to you because you're coming back on, so we could do a prayer another time. But please continue as we close out. Go ahead, finish your statement.
So I was saying, being empowered is what enables us to overcome the challenges that life brings us. And so a person may not be in the situation that they are in, but the power of God that resides within that person, that allows them to get up day after day and still meet the demands and the requirements and the challenges of that day without caving in and without falling apart, tells you that that person is empowered. And so we need to get our eyes off of and our minds off of the things that we have been accustomed to thinking that signifies that that person is empowered. But being able to walk through the storms of life with a confidence in God, still standing on the word of God, still propagating the word believer in God, to believe that the word of God is truth, that shows the empowerment of God in a person's life. And so we want to be able to teach people these things, that empowered means that you are able to walk in the fullness of God and to walk in God's truth. That's what the word of God teaches us.
Wow, that is so beautiful. Again, you've heard from evangelist Jackie McKay. She is calling us from Jamaica. We hope to have her on our regular weekly radio broadcast and have time to explain those books, and she's awesome in prayer. Well, we just have a few more minutes. Can you close us out in a empowered prayer? Would you say empowerment prayer? And we will end with that. And thank you for being on our show tonight. God bless you. Like I said, time is slipping. It just feels like yesterday. I didn't know it's been 20 years, Jackie. Oh, my God. But every time I see you, you look good and you look young. You're looking good.
To God be the glory, and so are you, Apostle Martha. And I thank God for your influence in my life for those times of praying with me. And you talk about, you know, being able to pray. But when we have good mentors and good examples, you know, Paul tells us that we should be an example to believers. And you also, you are setting that example that people like me can, you know, have something to look to and something to desire to, you know, to follow that example. And so I give God thanks. I give God glory. I praise God for those times that, you know, out of nothing, you have walked the streets of Glen Burnie and the streets of Greenmount when there were, you know, just a handful of people coming to hear what God had put through you. And so even now, as God has elevated you and, you know, taken you to another level in your ministry, we recognize and thank God for his faithfulness in rewarding you for your faithfulness in your walk and your service unto him. And so, Father God, tonight as I come before you, Lord God, Lord, I just want to thank you for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you tonight for your purposes, Lord God, that cannot be thwarted by man or by Satan. Father God, I thank you tonight that you have called your people, Lord God, to a life of holiness and a life of righteousness. And I pray in the name of Jesus that as we yield our lives unto you, that we will see the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives more and more. That, Father God, we will be able to truly taste and see that the Lord is good, because you declare in your word that you are good and that your mercies endure forever. And so, Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you will keep our minds stayed on you, Father God, so that we can walk in perfect peace, we can walk in righteousness, and we can walk in holiness. We will give you thanks, and we will continue to give you praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray, and we say amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. And God bless you. Thank you so much for calling in, and we'll be talking to you again, evangelist. Again, you've been listening to Jackie McKay from Jamaica, and this is the Fivefold Ministry. Happy holidays to everyone in the nations of Jamaica. God bless you, and thank you so much.
God bless you, and thank you, too. God bless you all. Walk in the power that God gives. In Jesus' name, amen.